Now, good morning to you. I'm just looking at some of the texts and emails that are already coming in, and I'll deal with them very shortly. And they're being influenced indeed by this front page story on the Belfast Telegraph this morning. A law chief, time to call halt to all troubles cases. And it basically is a story by Liam Clark, the political editor. And it says Northern Ireland's law chief has called for an end to prosecutions, inquests and public inquiries linked to the troubles. Attorney General John Larkin said there should be a halt to all probes into offences carried out before the signing of the Good Friday Agreement in 1998. Now, the radical proposals on dealing with the thorny issue of the past carry considerable weight because Mr. Larkin is the executive's top legal advisor. So no wonder people are expressing opinions. You heard on the news a number of political parties are concerned about what he's been saying. Let me speak to Liam Clark, who has written this story. Liam, good morning.
Hello, Frank.
Liam, it's certainly coming from a big hitter if the Attorney General's saying what he's saying. Just guide us through his proposals, Liam.
Well, basically he's saying, as you pointed out, that there should be a halt to inquests, criminal investigations, attempts to prosecute, all that sort of public inquiries, all that sort of thing for events before the signing of the Good Friday Agreement, provided they weren't carried out by dissident groups. And he's also saying that as a kind of a quid pro quo, there should be what he calls Freedom of Information Plus, where victims could access state records about the attacks on their loved ones, and it would also be open to journalists and historians to do so. Now, there would be, he envisages very detailed information being released to them, and he also envisages people who reported in good faith being protected from libel. For instance, he said to me, if a historian concluded that somebody carried out a number of murders and reported it and said the documents pointed to that, he should be protected from libel, provided he was prepared to correct it if he was shown to be wrong. That had big implications elsewhere. And another thing he mentioned to me was that civil actions for events during the Troubles would also be halted, so you couldn't go to this archive, find out something and then sue somebody or sue the police as a result. So it's really a drawing a line and releasing information. I think this will be, it can't really be dismissed, it's going to be part of the conversation now, and probably politicians will take some time to weigh it up. We're getting initial knee-jerk reactions, but this idea is going to have to play into the conversation because of who John Larkin is.
Yes, you outline in the paper some of the cases that could be affected. For example, there would be no investigation into who the soldiers were who actually killed the people on Bloody Sunday. We'd never get to the bottom of who was really responsible for the abduction and murder of Jean McConville. The people who lost their lives in the King's Mill massacre wouldn't get any answers. The attacks in Moy, which led to the deaths of some people, including Kevin McKerney, there would be no reply on that. The T-Ban Crossroads atrocity, Lochan Island, I presume Claudie, you'd include all of those, and many others. It's going to be a difficult pill for victims campaigners to swallow.
Well, just to be clear, I didn't actually write that box, but it's true, there would be no more investigation into those events that you mentioned. But I suppose what victims might get in return would be access to state records. You might be able to look at the records of the investigation into the T-Ban massacre, just to pick one, and the intelligence that existed at the time, and form your own conclusions on what happened. Or you might be able to get a historian looking through that and saying, here's what seems to have happened. But what you wouldn't be able to do is prosecute anybody. So there is a certain trade-off, because the chances of prosecution are getting less and less as time goes on. 1998's, 25 years ago, and many of the atrocities are long before that. So the trail's quite cold. We do get the odd person prosecuted. For instance, there's a man called John Downey being prosecuted for IRA bombings in London, the Hyde Park bombing. But they're very few and far between. So I think what the Attorney General is saying is really, the chances are now are getting so low, perhaps we should just look at another way of dealing with this.
The Attorney General does, of course, point out that steps like this have already been taken. One is the limit on sentencing for Troubles-era offences. The limit is 2 years, no matter what you've done. He also points out the example, the special provision that was in place for decommissioning, and the provision for the recovery of victims' remains. If you come forward and give information about where they disappeared or buried, you're not going to be prosecuted for that. So he's following what he sees as a logical line.
Well, yes, he's saying there that, you know, the door has been opened on this already. That as you say, if when IRA weapons or UVF weapons were being decommissioned, normally if those weapons had been found, you would have examined them to see was anybody's fingerprints on them and so on. You might have wanted to charge the person on whose land they were found and so on. None of that can happen. The same when you're recovering the bodies that have disappeared. If the IRA has assisted in finding the bodies, then they can't be examined forensically. Of course, the one exception is that's Jean McConville. They didn't help there. But So there is a bit of a precedent in that, and on the question of amnesty, I put it to him that that might be fall below human rights standards or be open to challenge, and he said, well, this isn't strictly an amnesty, but the European Court of Human Rights has accepted amnesties on two occasions, so he seemed to feel that if the government's agreed to do this, then internationally it would be okay.
And he's also pointing out that inquests are only of benefit if the guilty party is the state. If it's a paramilitary group, inquests only leave more questions to be answered than opportunities for some form of conclusion.
That's right, Frankie. He did make the point basically that it was unbalanced. He felt that if your loved one was killed by a paramilitary, you already knew that. You already knew the paramilitary killed him, the or her, and the inquest was unlikely to identify who precisely did it. Whereas if there's a state shooting, you're likely to find out a lot more information, which you could use perhaps that we didn't particularly make this point to sue the state. He's saying that this is an unbalanced system, and perhaps it's time to draw a line under it. That's very interesting, because the Attorney General has been pushing the coroners to hold more inquests, but I suppose he'd be saying he's operating the system as it stands, but he's suggesting changes in it. I noticed also that in the question of inquests, the Retired Police Officers Association, there's about 3,000 members in that, they suggested that all the troubles, all the police related inquests where police officers are accused of being involved should be rolled into one process rather than held individually, because they're saying, well, it's very often the same police unit that was involved in various shootings, and it would be easier to deal with it like that rather than letting it spread out over several. So there's a whole conversation going on here.
Do you think he'll come in for criticism because he suggested historians and journalists could work it out better than the police?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, senior police officers have said, I mean, that it's a burden policing the past. Hugh Ord was the first one to raise it. Matt Baggett's echoed that, and there are obviously reduced returns as time goes on investigation. The HET has looked into an awful lot of murders, and they've got, you know, a few prosecutions. So perhaps this will be delayed till the HET process is finished, and then you could say, well, the police have done their most.
And one final question, Liam. You know, it is the Attorney General who's speaking. How much of a listen will he get from the people who make the decisions? Is he now the most powerful person pushing this agenda?
Well, he's the only one so far, and he's got a fairly dusty reception from the political parties that I've heard so far. The DUP weren't, Geoffrey Donaldson wasn't too keen, TUV ruled it out, SDLP were against it. But I think that because he is the Attorney General, he is a senior law officer, this is going to be discussed. People are going to have more considered opinions on it later on, and perhaps are going to amend it around the details. I wonder if the release of information could be a bit stronger than he suggested. So I think it's definitely going to play into the Haas talks. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He's met Dr. Haas.
You feel that might be a recommendation when Haas concludes?
Well, it's impossible to say, but it's obviously something that's going to be looked at. I mean, it may be in the past Haas will give a number of options, but it is going to occur to most outsiders who aren't victims or haven't had relatives killed that at some point you draw a line. Now, whether this is a point or not, or whether this is a point now, I don't know, but that it will come at some point that investigations will become impossible.
Okay, Liam Clark from the Belfast Telegraph, the political editor who's written that story on the front of the Telegraph this morning. Thank you very much indeed.